You're listening to something awesome. This is Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nukeshas, and I've got an episode for you that was recorded at Balticon this year, and it's called It's Not Dead Yet. How do you know when to resurrect that dead blog or podcast? When do you reincarnate it, or when do you just leave it and let it be dead?
All right, so welcome to It's Not Dead Yet, a panel about when do you bring back a podcast or blog or something that you've killed. I'm Tabitha, your moderator, and I'm going to have everyone introduce themselves and say if they have brought back to life something.
Hi, I'm Nutty, and I have not had to bring back things specifically. I guess I did. Now that I think about it. I signed up for this more because I'm the fan that's like, yeah, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. I haven't taken Week in Whedon out of my RSS feed list.
I have asked him so many times. Kevin, please.
I am Scott Roche, and I have resurrected blogs and podcasts and the occasional corpse. So
corpse?
Yes.
Oh dear God!
You're not supposed to mention that we're recording.
I keep having to feed them to the wood chipper though, because it never quite turns out.
It's never as good as you think it's going to be.
Yeah. Same with resurrecting some blogs and podcasts, actually. Sometimes I have to feed those to the wood chipper, too. So, yeah, and part of the reason I'm on here is because I want to hear some good advice as well as give some good advice on how to do that, because one thing I'd like to do is bring back my regular fiction podcast at some point.
Yes, please. Melissa, can you introduce yourself and say if you have resurrected something?
My name is Melissa Hayden. I am a content editor, and I am also a book blogger for my blog, My World in Words and Pages. I have not resurrected, per se, anything, but I have gone on, like, a hiatus. Life just sometimes throws all sorts of curveballs at you, and I've had to take like a month or two or a couple months off just to get back. So then you sometimes just taking a month or two off and you have to come back feels like you're coming back after a couple years anyway.
Yes.
Yes. And like I said, I'm Tabitha, also known as Tabs. I have been podcasting since 2006. I have brought back my podcast many, many times. Many times that he knows. And somehow I resurrect Fantabulous every August for dumb days of podcasting.
Yes.
I think the cool thing to talk about is like, what should prompt you to resurrect something? And for me, it's always been fans going, so that thing that you were doing, can you do that some more? But does anybody else have any, like, even if it's stuff that you've tried to, like, push to resurrect, is it, when's the time where you're like, when you think about that?
For me, it becomes the, as a creator, it's when you find that you have a need for it and you're craving to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we can sit there and go, well, I really want to do it, but I haven't heard people asking for it, so nobody actually wants it. That's not true. People want it. If you want it, it's time to start up again. And the other thing is, it's, it doesn't matter if nobody wants it. Just do it.
Yeah. I think that's part of it for me. When I get the urge to resurrect something, I have to try and sit down and ask myself, why am I doing it? Am I doing it just because I want some kind of recognition, or am I doing it because I'm really craving, that's a good word, to make this story, to push this story further along? And I also have to think about, why did it die out in the first place? What was it that made me stop doing it? Was it just where did I write myself into a corner and couldn't write myself out, or did I, just didn't have time? And how to avoid that again in the future. I would say your desire has to be sort of in the right place, and the reason why you stopped it has to no longer be an issue.
I agree 100%. like with my blog, I started it because I wanted to do it. It was for me, not for anybody else. And when I have to take breaks because life's just too busy, complicated, whatever the situation might be, when I bring it back, it has to be because I want to. It's not for anybody else. It's for me, because if it's for somebody else, I'm not going to want to do it anyway.
If you're not doing it for you, then it's a job.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I don't want to do that. Yeah.
I think the piggybacking on that, just so you guys know, I have a cult, so that's where I get the feedback from, and then they would tell me that we missed that. And
I'm of course, cult.
Yeah.
Everybody's interesting.
I find that the term minions has a little less baggage, but...
No. There's self-identified cults.
Yeah, the reason I have a cult is because a hater called it a cult. I claimed it. I was like, sure, of course I have a cult.
I happen to have a mini church, but mine is not as big as mine.
I have a band. I haven't quite achieved.
So what was the point for, like, let's talk about some of the points where we have, why we abandoned something or left it for dead for a while, because I think that'd be helpful to figure out if we're talking about this process of why this got brought up. Yeah, you should know why you did it in the first place. What are some of the reasons that happened to your works?
I'd say burnout.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Burnout is very easy.
Yeah.
If you just push, even just reading all the time. You're reading, and then it's just like, okay, for whatever reason, books just aren't hitting the sweet spot anymore. You know, you just need to take a break. Like a lot of things, you know, you work every day and you need a vacation. And that's part of the burnout. Part of it goes with family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you book your day too full.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need that vacation.
So what's your remedy for the burnout?
Some days, well, if I'm burnt out on doing the blog, I put out there, I need to take a break. I'll put a post up and say, I need a time off. I'm still listening, still reading, but I just can't write anything right now, or I need to focus on something else. I am not a published writer, but I enjoy writing on my own. I'll focus on that. Or I do photography. Again, I'm not published, but I focus on doing something that gets me away from that so that when I come back to it, it feels fresh again. Mm-hmm. It's something I come back when I want to come back, and I'm ready for it.
What was your reason for abandoning?
A couple of things. So, like, this is a really deep cut, but I first started podcasting and writing with a novel called Archangel.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what nobody with a first novel mm-hmm. should do, which is put it out for people's consumption. I had this really ambitious idea for this story world, and while many people enjoyed it, I didn't have, at the time, the equipment to really do a quality job of it, and I wanted to tell a story that I wasn't quite able to tell. So I think there, with some projects, there comes a point where you're like, okay, I recognize that whatever I need to do this, I don't have it, whether it's expertise or equipment or whatever, and you try to do it anyway, and it fails, and so you have to recognize what you need to get to do that. The other thing is, and we talked about this in a panel on Dead Robots, I suffer from depression and anxiety, and occasionally that will hit me like a grizzly bear. And it's like if you stop doing something long enough, like you said, if you stop for a month, it feels like you've stopped for 2 years. And sometimes it just hits me and I can't do anything for a month or two. And then I'm like, do I really have to do this again? So yeah, you have to wait until that external or internal stress passes and give yourself permission to put the wheels in motion again.
I think the mental health aspect is really a big factor in how we let things fade or lapse. I know, for instance, one of my big projects, it was a collaborative effort, and the thing that really kills me is when it feels like you're the only one that's putting anything in, that nobody wants to step up, nobody says, hey, are we going to do the thing? But you're always the one saying, I'm going to do the thing, I need to promote it here, I need to promote it there, and it just feels like rejection over and over again. I'm sure many people with social anxiety can understand the, if you're constantly asking your friends out to things, but you're the only person that's ever asking, even if they say yes, it can wear you down. But if you're getting no's and it's, you know, usually, oh, I wish I could, but it doesn't matter. It's still that rejection. So you have to work to get yourself prepared to be able to face that rejection over and over again. And for me, that was a really big factor in one of my projects dying. And how do you fix that? That's the tricky part. How do you fix that? Because there's no one fix for any mental health issues.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that, and we know that it's not a bar graph. It's more like a spaghetti pattern of lines. But, you know, trying to build a better support system, or maybe coming up with some sort. For me, what it was is I came up with a standard. It was, if we're going to do it for these many months, and I'm telling everyone now, this is what's happening for these many months, and if I don't see a change in the collaboration, I'm not going to organize anything anymore.
Yeah, because sometimes it's okay to let it die.
Yeah. It, sometimes you have to.
As hard as that is, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's, you don't want to, but
no.
If you, yeah, no. You have to let it go sometimes.
And then you can redirect that energy and effort into something that maybe is more positive.
I have had all of those for the different podcasts that have died and resurrected, but I'm going to give you a weird one. The project that we stopped on was somebody was donating their time and skills and effort, and then became famous and is too busy to do something for free. So we had a composer who was doing a musical episode for us for our audio drama, Angel Between the Lines, and he got a bunch of jobs and is now this famous video composer and traveling the world. And every year now he emails me, Tabs, I'm sorry that we didn't get to finish that. And I'm like, whenever you can, Austin Venturi, I'm sorry you're famous.
You know, and to not quite to Austin's level of fame, but that also happened on one of the podcasts on your network, Itchycast, where the person who had started the podcast, it was an intro cast, and the person who had started it, the veteran, she just started booking a lot of gigs with her music, and she didn't have time, and it was unfortunate. So one of her newbies said, you know what,
I'm gonna take over.
And he got new hosts, and he launched it from the beginning, and it's been going strong. They're in season 7, I think. Sometimes it happens. You don't have a choice, but someone you're working with.
Being able to hand off a project that people like and are passionate about and want to do without you is great. I love it. It's kind of hard for some people because they're like, that's my baby. That's my podcast. That's my... And I'm like, whatever. Just do it. Take it. So when we sat down and we are like, okay, this is what happened and this is what I can do to fix it, or maybe not fix it, or I have that passion and bite again, how do you announce it to the people that have been waiting for 3, 6, 100 years?
My big recommendation is don't start announcing it until you have something ready to release. The worst thing you can do because I've been toyed with this so many times.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back. Yeah. Here's a little snippet. Here's a little promo.
And then you're waiting month after month after month.
Yeah.
When are you coming back?
Yeah. And this is a personal preference. Don't ask for money if you're... if you don't have anything to deliver, because if you, especially with that kind of a thing, there's a particular project I can think about that the person stopped halfway through a story, nothing for like 5 years, actually it was probably longer, and then said, oh, we're coming back, but we need you to pay for it.
Only if you give us money.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay if it's, I'll do this thing if you pay for it. But it was, oh, no, no, we're totally coming back. Here's an episode. Now pay for it. Mm-hmm. And then...
It was a bait and switch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm all about supporting things that I love, but I just...
It just needs to be done in the right fashion.
Yeah.
I hopefully, whenever you put your project on hold or hiatus or whatever, when it dies, you don't let the URL go...
Yes.
You maintain some kind of social media presence. I have a Patreon, and there have been some dry spells, and people have stuck by me through some of those dry spells, but I've always communicated to them, hey, this is where I'm at. If you have to drop support for a little while, then I understand that. And when I come back, as long as you continue, because on Patreon, as well as other social media, you can continue following somebody for $0. And as soon as I have something that I'm going to put up or whatever, and you want to start supporting me again, then yeah. And then people have done that, you know, and that's great.
And Patreon has come out with, I don't know if they have always had it, but I definitely have noticed it recently. You can put a campaign on hiatus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can say to people, I'm not delivering, so I'm not allowing you to donate. And then as soon as you come off hiatus, they know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you've got to maintain some kind of presence, but that assumes that you are intentionally stopping something as opposed to just letting it peter out. Now, I will say if it's the thing where it just slowly kind of peters out, then you, at some point you have to engage intentionality and say, okay, either I'm going to do this or I'm going to let it die, but either way, I'm going to communicate with people that have been enjoying this in theory, and say, look, I'm not sure if I'm going to be back, or I'm going to be back after a 6 month or whatever. So communication is key.
I would say even if you are totally closing down and you've said it on a podcast, still put it on the website or wherever where you can find it. I know for Between the Lines, there's a big note at the top that says, "We're not doing this anymore." You can listen to it here.
Mm-hmm.
I have started with just being on the blog. I do know I get burnout. Mm. I've cut down how much I post weekly because I know that makes a big impact on me. My anxiety level rises. Like, I'm one of those people mentally, I know this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do in a day. And if I can't get it all done, I then go a little bonkers inside my head. So I know when that, I know that that can happen. I have tried to scale back to try to prevent it. And I do take hiatuses now. Excuse me.
You said you leave a post when you do a hiatus.
I do leave a post. And part of that is it's for me to do what I want to do. Like, November is NaNoWriMo month.
Mm-hmm.
I will take November off from the blog. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to my followers that I can't get up to visit them or comment back because I'm putting time elsewhere. So I tell them, I'm taking the month off. This is what I'm doing. I'll see ya in December. Sometimes December comes and I have to put a post up and say, you know what? I'll see you in January, because December with a family is like chaos. But, you know, that's what I have to do, and I know I need to do that.
Yeah.
And after having the blog for, I think I've been doing it 9 years now, I've come to the cycle that I know what I need to do for myself.
My tip is, if you are resurrecting something that's been dead for a long time, to jump back into the podcast community
and
get on other podcasts and say, hey, I've just resurrected Strangely Literal. So go listen.
But don't tease me like that. That was not nice.
But the podcast community is a great place to find your other listeners because they probably migrated out into the other podcast community.
It's nice to hear and to hear you with other places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means you're really doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really making an effort to get back. So when people see that you're putting that effort out and you're mingling with other people, this is serious.
I also recommend not redoing the old stuff.
Yeah.
With exception.
Like, if people have been waiting for 2 years for you to resurrect your podcast, please don't. The first thing out is, like, episodes that they've already heard.
Yeah.
Remastered or re-edited or, like, that's just me.
I do recommend, if you're trying to resurrect something and you're hesitant or you don't have a clear path, I'm going to use podcasting as an example. Instead of launching your podcast all over again and diving feet first in and maybe running into those same problems, guest on someone else's podcast for a while, get involved in and start contributing to other podcasts. If it's blogging, you know, start guest blogging and things of that nature so that you're not fully committed and you don't have to deal with that horrible crash of if you realize, oh gosh, I really don't want to do this.
I know that I can't maintain a blog, so I blog for my friend's site that has a lot of writers on it called Modern Creative Life, and they're looking for more writers. So if you like fiction writing or essay writing,
it's a fantastic blog, by the way. I've been featured on there a couple
so I do
times.
One blog post a month. And
what is that called again?
Modern Creative Life.
And that's a good idea. You know, if you want to get to ease back in, and I recommend for a lot of people to just sort of ease back in, find their Dead Robots is always looking for guests, and I know bloggers are always looking for guest posts because they want to have some unique content, some new content, something fresh. So, I mean, you know, go to a
maybe
blog.
Maybe going on hiatus for November.
Right.
Yeah.
So, connect with your peers and say, can I help you out in some way? And then you're helping me out by getting me back into the game. What do you think about, like, if you had a regular fiction podcast and you decide to go on hiatus, or you do it because, for whatever reason, you don't have any stories
mm-hmm.
written or whatever, doing a periodic check-in episode, like, this is my status, this is what I'm doing, and then when I get back to the point where I'm going to start releasing fiction or Buffy episodes or whatever, I'll let you know. That way it keeps the feed alive.
Yeah.
And if people don't want to listen to that, they can always delete the episode without listening, but at least they stay subscribed because there's going to be content.
I'm totally for that because that goes back to the communication.
Mm-hmm.
When you're communicating with the audience, I mean, they definitely don't, they don't feel like they've been forgotten about. I do want to make sure that it's not a constant, well, I don't have anything new for you, but I wrote 5,000 words.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's it. Like, make sure there is something tangible
right.
for them.
Right.
Yeah, one of the podcast fiction authors I like, he'll, when he doesn't have anything, he'll do a little bit of, this is how the world works. So he'll be like, hey, I'm still working, but do you know the God system works like this? And,
that's a good idea.
That way it's something new and it's not, because that's the other thing is, like, people will unsubscribe if all it is like, I wrote 5,000 words.
Yeah,
still nothing for you.
What I'll do sometimes, because I find, like, on my Patreon, a fair number of my patrons are writers or creators, and so I'll do, like, a process.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have any fiction, I'll say, like, this is how I do this. Or I'll put up a poll and I'll say, what do you guys, you
mm-hmm.
know, no fiction from me this month, but what would you like instead?
I like that, and I made a comment even last year at a panel last year, for authors, like, just one post to tell me you're still alive.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
You know, it doesn't have to be anything major. It could be just a couple minutes if you're doing the podcast, or just a couple paragraphs to say, I'm here. I'm you know, again, I don't want the same thing repeated for 6, 7, 8 months to a year. But just to keep me in the loop that you're here, you're alive, you know, we're working, but this is
and
what...
even if it's, I haven't written anything.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay to say, I haven't done anything. And I think too often, we as creators, we feel like we can't say that.
You always have to be putting out
something, yeah. And I think that, you know, even just saying I don't have anything or talking about something else is enough to engage. And funnily enough, that's how Flashcast started. So the Flashpulp podcast is a fiction podcast. And
which I highly recommend.
It's really great. But in the earlier days, some of the writing was coming out slower. And they just started doing a kind of meta episode. And that's actually got some people just only interested in that portion of the show now.
Well, the other great thing they did with that, for your consideration, is they invited their community to contribute content.
Yeah.
So their metacasts might include other people's fiction or reviews or... they had spin-off podcasts of Let's Watch a Movie Together, you know, a bad movie. And so that's another thing. You can invite your community in and say, would you like to contribute?
Whatever you do, don't make sure it doesn't take away from actually doing the thing, though.
Right.
Yes. Don't do anything that's so time-consuming that you can't do your thing.
Right. It should be an easy thing for you to do.
And on top of that, I would just say, remember that that most of your listeners are not following you on social media or looking at your website. They are purely in your subscribe. And so if you do put out an episode that's just like, hey, I'm still here, stuff is coming, that's probably the only way they're going to hear about it.
100% true.
Yeah, because
even if they are following you on social media, it's so easy to miss.
That's what I was. You took the word out of my mouth.
It's so easy to miss. I mean, like, I don't know how many times somebody's posted something and then like a week later I finally see it. You know, Facebook's got that screwy. I don't know how they know what they're showing me. I'll explain to you later. Okay.
Dab news on.
That's my dab. You know, like it's and there's so many other things in that list. It's easy to miss it.
Yeah.
One thing I was just going to add to that is, I used to, when I had a new episode, I would post it on Twitter like 4 times, separated by 12 hours. You can no longer do that. Twitter's got new rules. You cannot repeat a post.
Yeah, and you have to change like one letter. Add a space.
Okay.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Good to know.
Because and people are on at different times.
That's the thing, because it is extremely easy to miss something on Twitter.
Yeah, and there's different time zones. People work different shifts, you know. So you might as well post in the morning and the afternoon and in the evening. But don't make it the only thing you're posting, too.
Right.
You know,
and please don't post on your Facebook and on your Facebook story. Freaking hate that so much.
Yeah, I wonder why I'm getting 2 things and it's the same thing sometimes, and it's like, oh, that's what they do.
Because Facebook has a default that you can put it on both, and it's just,
I don't Facebook story.
Awesome. So, let's talk a little bit about shows that we do know have come back and have disappeared again. Like, what point are you like, I can't do this? When should we decide to kill the podcast, kill the blog, kill the whatever, and give our farewell speech?
As
I don't have an answer
or as listeners.
Well, I guess part of it would be it's not a season. It's something that's taken off for a year or more, come back for a couple months, then taken off for another year or more. Or, you know, like, if it's a season, they're on, they do their episodes, and you know it's going to end in 13 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And then they'll be off for 6 months and come back. That's different than somebody that's very sporadic. after probably about 3 or 4 times of sporadic, I don't know when you're going to be posting, and I don't know when you're coming back. I don't know.
I think it really tends to be that you have to do this risk analysis, and you have to look at it and say, okay, I came back, it was working, but then it didn't. If I come back again, I cannot do the same thing. So it's almost like killing it, but I mean, the best thing that you can do is either let it die or completely reinvent.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use an example of the voice of Free Planet X.
Yes.
Jared, she's brought that podcast back a couple of times. And then in the latest incarnation, it was a whole reinvention of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it actually, you know, became super amazing. And if you were here yesterday for the live, it was just mind-blowing. But that in order to actually make it work, reinvention had to happen. So, I mean, technically you could say, well, the old podcast is actually dead. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, you got to burn everything to the ground, mm-hmm. build new.
And I think a lot of it gets back to why did it die in the first place? You know, if it's a matter of you just completely lost a passion for it, then yeah, maybe you should consider not resurrecting. If it's a matter of just a serious change in circumstance, like Jared went through, or you know, like losing the music producer, then.
I mean, how many people have faded because they had lost their job, had to change jobs, had children, had, you know, divorces, whatever.
But I think, again, the major key is communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind sticking with somebody that's having struggles.
Yeah.
Whether it's external, internal, physical, whatever. Yeah. If you give me a little bit... I'm not going to leave, even if it takes 3, 4, or 5 times, because you're telling me what's going on. I think that's like one of the biggest things that people need to realize. Communication is key.
Do you think that's different because for something like a story or a book than it is for something that's just like people talking about TV shows?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think if it's fiction... You need to finish the story, and
or at least communicate.
Yeah, communicate something, because that's just completely unfair to the audience.
That's the one that really upsets me more than anything. Mm-hmm. Is with a book. If you're going to start a book and you want to share it with the world, don't stop halfway through it and then never finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the notion of having everything done before you release episode 1. For a book, because I've been burned as a listener.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was a very nice lady, though, that I had started listening to, and she got really sick. And instead she sent out the PDF of the book, and she's like, I'm sorry, I can't finish it.
Yeah, well, and there's a particular book that was fantastic, and the podcast was so amazing, but then the author got published... and couldn't release it on podcast anymore, but there was a book that I could read. Mm-hmm.
And
I did.
That's a different story.
Yeah, that's different than...
Disappearing
yeah. or fading or, you know, dying. Mm-hmm. That's transforming the project.
The other thing I try and keep in mind, both as a creator and as a consumer, is, am I paying for it?
Right.
I mean, if I'm not paying for it, I'm not going to throw a fit if they go on hiatus for a while, you know. And
you get your money back.
Yeah. and with podcasts that I produce, unless that we've made some sort of, de facto contract, if you get upset that I'm not putting out regularly enough for you, unsubscribe. I mean, I hate it, but, you've got to do what you've got to do as a listener, and I've got to do as a producer. I will say that now that things like podcatchers and stuff are more ubiquitous than they were when I first started, and when we all first started, and RSS feeds, although I'm still looking for a better feed reader because the one that I used for years died. As those things have improved, it's easier to go, okay, well, I'll stay subscribed because it's not like it's a hardship. And then whenever a new episode drops, it's like a Christmas present.
But, yeah. It's in my podcast app, I'll look at it and all of a sudden something will be, and I'll go, oh, awesome.
Yeah,
yes.
Hardcore History is a really good example. The guy that produces it, there are long gaps because he puts a tremendous amount of work into each episode. Each episode is like a documentary, and
they're all like 3 hours long.
Oh, at least. And that's the other thing, because used to be when you stopped listening to an episode, you couldn't start where you left off. But now it's so much easier to do that and to stay subscribed to things, and yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't forget about it now because the app just tells me. Mm-hmm. That makes it so much easier.
Cool. Well, do we have any questions from anybody?
More of a comment.
Do I have to do like we do with the kids?
If you haven't tried Dog Catcher as a pod. Podcast thing, good
I am looking for a new one because the one that I just downloaded, it's got some good features, but it's not great. So, Dog Catcher, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also, I had to throw in a reference from last night.
Yes. Do you ever resurrect a podcast or blog or something like that, and then you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, one of the big projects that I resurrected is actually a gaming group.
Mm-hmm.
It was chat-based role-play. And one of the times that I resurrected it, it was definitely I shouldn't have done that because I've just made a whole bunch of work for myself at a time that I'm trying to grow my business. Mm-hmm. And the payoff was very little, and it meant that every Wednesday I was chained to a computer and couldn't go and do anything else, and it was more hassle than it was worth. But yes, there is definitely times that happens, and again, with the communication and being honest, that's when you have to sit there and say, I'm sorry, I can't.
Mm.
And that was when I said, I'm turning over the keys to anybody who wants to do this.
Mm.
And then it did die because nobody seemed to want to do that work.
Mm-hmm. I am a little impulsive by nature, and I've definitely started things and restarted things without putting sufficient thought into it, and now I have to force myself to go, okay, if this is a really good idea, I'm going to sit on it for a month or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And just see if I can generate some content, see if I can think through it a little better, see if I really have time to do it, definitely have pulled the trigger early on stuff that I shouldn't have.
Mine was I took over and resurrected a podcast and not realize how hard it was to find. So I do short fan fiction on one podcast, but I resurrected this other one that did longer fanfic. Did not realize how hard it was to find good longer fanfic and for Firefly, and
that's one of that you're talking
about. Yeah, and it was a struggle. It was not fun. It was like, I've read 4 chapters of your story and now it's terrible. It was just not fun.
The other thing is, if you're not, you mentioned a key thing, if you're not having fun with it,
yeah,
you're not getting paid in most cases.
My favorite piece of advice in life comes from Evo Terra. We're going to do it until it's not fun anymore.
Yep. Yeah. One of the things that I think is really important in this idea of bringing something back is, and we talked about what was broken. What was broken that made it stop? And if you don't fix that, it's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Oh, but this time it'll work because I really want it to work. That's not enough. You have to figure out what was broken. So if it was the joy factor. If the podcast no longer has joy for you, then you can't get. You have to find a way to get joy from it, or say no. It's just not going to happen. One of the things that I think, especially for, and we're going back to podcasting here, but one of the things that I think and I've seen work is, so dogdaysofpodcasting.com is a daily podcast for the month of August. And you get one RSS feed and you have all these different content creators making podcasts every day. I have seen so many people resurrect their podcasts that they haven't done in years by just participating in that event. And they're not daily podcasters, but because they just did it every day, it got them back into the habit of podcasting. So they're like, well, I could do this every week or every 2 weeks or every month. That's no problem. And I think NaNoWriMo has done that for a lot of authors who, you know, life has gotten in the way. It's hard to get into the writing habit. And then you do this stunt, this event, and it's, all right, I'm going to write 50,000 words in a month. So it's like, you know, 16...
Put your butt in the chair every
whatever.
Day.
Yeah, you get your butt in the chair every day. And then the months following, well, it's a lot easier to make sure that every couple of days I write. Yeah. Or that I write, like, you know, 500 words a day, not 1,700. And I've had that with my art in during Lent. I do a piece of art every single day, and that was definitely a kick in the pants to get back to creating for me.
And there's lots of those kind of challenges, so if you don't want to do it in August or something like that, the nice thing about those kind of things is there's a community around you who is like, yes, I too am trying to do all of these things. So even in NaNoWriMo, I know there's blog writers that go, I'm going to write 6 months worth of content during NaNoWriMo. Like, that's, and they're not actually writing a novel, they're just writing, you know, 6 months worth of blog posts.
I think the key to that is just make sure that you don't end up burning yourself out.
Yes.
If you're going to do something for a month, every day for a month, do little things every day. That's the nice thing about NaNoWriMo is it's not a whole lot of words. Mm-hmm. And most of the Dog Days podcasts I've seen are like, they're 10, 20, maybe 30 minutes tops. And they're
5, 10 is the best.
Yeah. And they're
I have to listen to them all.
And they're easy to edit. You know, it's minimal editing, and usually it's not anything very complicated. So keep it simple, Sally.
And that's part of the reason why when I do NaNoWriMo, I stop something else. Because I know what it takes for me to do it, and I can't do two things at once.
Yes.
So that's part of the reason why I do the way I do. And then after NaNo, I cut it back. I know it takes me an hour to do whatever, but with doing life, you know, you can't do two things. So then after NaNo, once I've, accomplished that, and yes, I want to keep going, I might cut it back to a half hour a day or something more functionable in my diet of events for the day.
Now, would you recommend if you did like a Dog Day or a NaNo instead of your regular thing for a month, putting that content into your usual feed?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
That is
better to have more content than not enough content.
that is 100% a yes.
Because a few times, the only reason I would say no is I have unsubscribed from things because for a period of time they radically shifted the kind of content they put out. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for.
But make sure that people know what you're
doing.
Mm-hmm. That's the limited content.
It's for a limited period of time.
Because it's easy to ignore or delete something than it is to go and find that thing.
Right.
I think that one of the other things about these challenges and these stunts is that it allows you to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a line that Merle Lafferty has been saying for 15 years. Give yourself permission to suck. And when you do these things, you realize you don't have to be so precious with your content. And too many of us are so precious with our content that, well, I can't get the podcast out because I haven't done the noise removal and I haven't added the Foley and I haven't added the sound clips and I haven't done all of these things. And then you do something like Dog Days and you just talk into a microphone and release it. You realize, you know what? I need to edit less.
Yeah, that's right.
I need to let myself suck a little more.
that's what I'm doing with. I just started a podcast a couple of months ago, and I'm using Anchor.fm. Mm-hmm. It's an app and a website, and they do all hosting and push everything out for you to all the various podcast places. And it's great because it's got a few minimal editing tools built into it, and it's a great little. So this is a little plug for Anchor.fm. So find ways to make it a little easier on yourself.
Yeah.
Don't push yourself so hard until you are really good at whatever it is you're doing, and then add a little bit, and add a little bit, instead of trying to, you know, go from 0 to 100 in 5 seconds.
I'm going to teach you a positive lesson that I've learned recently, and it's called positive indifference. It's this idea that the people that want to be around you and want to listen to your podcast or read your blog will read your blog and listen to your podcast no matter what, because they like you for who you are. People that don't, won't, and that's fine. They can go find another podcast that they like to listen to. And it's really changed my mindset, because it's like, no, I just be me on the podcast, and I just do me, and I do me as best as I can. And if you like it, then that's great. If you don't, that's great too.
I would rather be accepted for who I am than, or I would rather be rejected for who I am than accepted for who I'm not.
So that, but that goes to the whole editing and trying to look more and posh and whatever. You're gonna lose a lot of time in your life trying to be too polished.
I would rather listen to the content than worry about have to. Oh yeah, they said or there's a lot of ticks and stuff like that. To me, I mean, if I'm listening to a podcast, I'm there to listen to you talk. I'm not listening to your editing.
Right.
I've got a podcast for that too.
If you wanted to listen to somebody who is super polished and put nothing of themselves into it, you'd be listening to the radio.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, if you're going to go on hiatus because it, or something like that, because it's just taking too much technical time, to me, don't worry about that. Just concentrate on the content, and you'll still keep your subscribers and stuff like that.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You are speaking my language. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up, but let's do our very number one tip that we want people to walk away from with, and we'll start with Melissa.
Number one tip. As long as it's in your heart, it can come back. I think that's probably the biggest thing for anybody. And then, I guess, what do you want me to give my name?
Yeah. Where people can find you?
Melissa Hayden. You can find me at melissalhayden.com for my editing services, content editing. And you can find me at My World in Words and Pages for my blog reviews and posts.
My name is Scott Roche. You can find me at scottroche.com, scottroche. And you can find links to everything I do there. And my number one is probably take care of yourself.
Yes.
Because if you don't take care of yourself, your spiritual, mental, psychological, physical health, you're not going to be around to produce anything. So take a break if you need to, and yeah, be passionate.
I agree with both of those. I'm not going to give a number one tip. That's awful.
Nutty, get off the camera.
But
for number one tip.
It's okay. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Dang it.
Taps is awesome, that's what you're
going to say. Yes, just go to Taps. No, what I was going to say is if there's something that you really love and you want to see back and it's not your own project, see if you can do the thing that's stopping it from coming out. Find out what is it, what's the one thing that you need to make this happen, and either offer yourself up as a co-conspirator, or offer to take the reins or whatever, and help the person that is the producer, and that can actually really work. Don't try to take something away from somebody, but definitely offer yourself as tribute.
That might be the one key they're waiting for.
Nobody
knows it.
I know I helped a couple of podcasters produce their podcast because one of the number one things they were running into was production time, eating away at writing time. And as a result, I learned a lot of valuable skills and made my podcast better. Mm-hmm. So.
There's been a lot of podcast fiction that the producing of the audio has gotten in the way of writing, and it's, I'll just read it for you. Let me do it. I'm actually in the process of wanting to do that for a particular podcast fiction thing. And, yeah.
Yes, many cult members have resurrected my podcast by editing them.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh, and I am... I'm Jess. And you can find the Nutty Bites podcast at nimlas.org, nimlas.org. And you can come up and get a sticker that has the website on it as well. And it's a cool sticker.
It's a cool sticker.
Yeah, and since we were talking about cults and mini churches and things, yeah, so Nimlas is Nuke Jess is my Lord and Savior. So I kind of understand that a little bit. I did not come up with that, but I did make it my website. Nuke Jess.
Yes. My number one thing is, even if you sucked and didn't tell people for years that you're coming back or that you're still alive, just do it. If it's something that's so passionate in your heart, just do it. Then you'll find a new audience, or the new old audience will come back, or people will go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I mean, we still get emails for Buffy Between the Lines, and it's been
a decade.
Well, a decade since we started, but it's been like 6 years since it's been off production.
Yeah.
So, just do it. And I'm Tabs. You can find me on the internet as Tabs. And yeah, thanks everybody for joining me today. Thank you.
Join us for The Bicast, a podcast by and for the bisexual community.
We discuss and give voice to all of us under the big umbrella, bringing you information, news, entertainment, and support for all.
You can find us at thebicast.org, at The Bicast on Twitter, The Bicast on Tumblr, and Bicast in iTunes. Visit the Bicast page on Facebook and see how you can join the Facebook group.
And remember, you're not wrong, and you are not broken, and you are not alone.
So pull up your favorite comfy chair and relax.
And remember, everybody gets a cookie.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.